It's good to see everybody this morning. For you that are visiting or haven't been here in a while, we've been talking about the I Am's of Jesus. We started out, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he'll be saved. I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, I am. If you do not believe that I am the Christ, you will die in your sins. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and life. And this morning, we're going to talk about the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. I like that he put things in terms that we could understand. And especially in his day, this was an agricultural society. And this example Jesus used was not over their heads. They should have understood perfectly what he was saying. The text this morning is out of John chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for those who have gathered here this morning to hear your word. I pray a special blessing. Lord, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon us to open our eyes and our ears to receive this truth that you have spoken to us. Let it settle deep into our hearts. Let it be something we meditate on, Lord, and consider whether we ourselves are actually attached to you, the vine. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. The Greek word there, abide, is meno. It's a verb that means to stay. It relates to a given place, a state, relation, or expectancy. It means to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, or to stand. Now, I know that's a lot. But Jesus here said, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself. And he said, you cannot bear fruit if you do not abide in me. This isn't the first time in the Gospel of John the Lord talked about abiding. We read that in John chapter 8, Jesus was preaching, and it said many of the Jews believed in him. So Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, same word, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now you would think that these people that believed in Jesus would have welcomed that statement, but they didn't. It offended them. If you're familiar with that passage, they said, wait a minute. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say you're going to make us free? They got ticked, to put it in our vernacular. It made them mad. Who do you think you are calling us slaves? If you're familiar with the text, Jesus said, whoever sins is a slave to sin. But I came to set you free. They got even more offended. Who you calling a sinner? Jesus said, you. You know, Jesus, when he preached, he wasn't worried about offending people. There seems to be so much stress on that today. Be careful what you say, preacher. Don't make people mad. They're liable to leave the church, and dad burned it, the checkbooks will go with them. How are we going to make budget? We got bills to pay. Preach feel-good sermons. Make everybody go home happy. I'd love to preach feel-good sermons all the time. But you know what? Jesus didn't preach feel-good sermons all the time. Jesus spoke the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe it. So when the Lord says, I am, we need to pay attention to that. He's not talking just to hear himself. He's not bragging. He is telling us what we need to know to get through life and to inherit eternal life. As I said, he said, I am the door. If you come in through me, you'll be saved. What's the implication there? You try to come in another way, you won't be saved. He told the Jews, I am the Messiah. If you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins. And yet there was many in his day and in our day say, well, there's a lot of ways to get to God. We're studying the cults Wednesday night. It's amazing what people think. How they can get to God on their terms. I'm going to tell you something, sweet pea, it doesn't work that way. It's his way or no way at all. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one of many ways. He said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I'm one of many truths. He said, I am the truth. A man says that, he's either a liar or he's telling the truth. I think he's telling the truth. Last week we talked about the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Today he's expounding on that statement that he is the life. As I said, he used an example that the people of his day and people today should be able to understand. He said, my father's the gardener. Any branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts off. What happens to a branch when you cut it away from a tree? It dies. The life source has been cut off. I had some apple trees when I lived here in town. Once in a while, I'd have to go out and cut dead branches away, or if branches looked diseased, I'd cut them away. And I often thought if that tree could talk, it'd probably be going, no, don't cut me off. Give me a chance. I'll bear apples. But you had to cut it off for the life of the tree, for the good of the tree. Jesus said, my Father is the one that trims me. I am the vine, I am the life source. And if you're a branch in me and you're not bearing fruit, he'll cut you off. Boy, that sounds harsh. But why shouldn't he? You know, we talk a lot about gifts. I hear a lot of talk on these ministries about God's gifts. He gives all these gifts to us. What good's those gifts if we don't use them? Why should God give us something we're not going to use? That'd be a little silly. Jesus said, I am the true vine. That means there's false vines. There's a lot of things promise you life in this world, but I'm going to tell you from my own experience, this world lies. Shoot this, snort this, drink this. And the end of it's death. Jesus said, I am the life. Here he's saying, I'm the vine. The branches get their nourishment from the vine. You remember what he said? You have to stay in me. Without me, you can do nothing. Paul said it this way, Jesus is the head of the church. And we're all part of his body. Now, you know, I worked for an ambulance service for 5 years. I've seen amputated limbs. But you know what? People got over it. But what happens if you lose the head? There's no getting over that. You lose the head, all of life is cut off. Well, what's my point? Jesus, Paul said, is the head of the church. We're to look to the head for our life. We're to listen to what the head has to say. We're to follow what the head tells us to do. The Lord said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father. Well, how do we know the will of the Father? Stay connected to the head. Stay attached to the vine. That's our life source. I'm including myself in this. Too many times in life, we say, here's my will, God, bless it. Here's my plans, God, bless them. This is what I'm willing to do, Lord. And we don't bother asking him, what is your will for my life? You know why? Because we're afraid. I've told you before, when I answered the call to ministry, I was getting ready for church that morning. We'd been in revival, and God started speaking to my heart, and he said, are you going to obey me? And I said, yeah, I'll obey. And he said, then if you'll listen to me, your life will never be the same. And I thought, oh, great, I'm going to Africa. I don't want to be a missionary. Lord, they got cats over there that eat you. I've seen snakes that could stand up and look right in your eye. You don't want me over there. But that's not at all what he had in mind. I was afraid. I'm being honest with you. I did not want his will in my life because I just knew he was going to send me to Africa or Papua New Guinea where they had cannibals. This fat boy get off the boat. Somebody be pulling a fork out of their back pocket. That's the way I think, church. And I just thought, I don't want, no, God, not thy will, but mine. This is how I want to serve you. You know, God's not interested in how I want to serve him. All he's interested is that I do his will. And that doesn't just apply to the preacher. It applies to every person in this room. Jesus said, you have to stay tied into me. You have to stay connected to me. It impresses me in the book of Acts. Go home and read the book of Acts. Take some time and read the book of Acts. You know what kind of church you see there? What kind of disciples? Paul said, we were fasting and praying and ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the ministry I've called them to. How did they find that out? They were ministering, they were praying, they were fasting, they were saying, God, what do you want? They didn't lay a map out and Paul said, okay, God, we've got this all mapped out. And me and Barnabas are going to go here and here. We're not going to go there because we don't like those people. They're kind of weird, you know. How do you know God isn't calling you to minister to weird people? You got a weird preacher? He might be calling you. He might be getting you ready. I know I joke sometimes, and some people tell me you shouldn't joke in the pulpit. Okay. I shouldn't, but I do. I want to do the Lord's will in my life. Jesus goes on to talk about the fruit that we bear. Whose glory is it for? Oh, good night. Somebody here ought to know that. His, the Father's, not the pat on the back and add a boy or add a girl. Jesus said, my life and your life is to bring glory to God. I listened to a good sermon this morning while I was getting ready. And that minister reminded me of something. We were slaves to sin when we were in the world, were we not? Yeah, I was. I'd be a liar if I said I wasn't. And then Jesus Christ bought us back. That's called redemption. But you know what? He didn't redeem me that I could live any way I wanted to. In fact, the scriptures teach that we become slaves to God. Now, we don't like that word today because we think of chains and being beat, but slaves to God, servants to God. John MacArthur wrote a book. If you ever get a chance, I recommend you read it. It's called Slaves for Christ. And in the book, he points out that a slave's will is to do their master's will. A slave lives to bring honor to their master. A slave puts their master's will ahead of theirs. That's tough. God, what if your will isn't my will? Well, there's a pretty good chance that his will isn't yours, because he's God. I'm sharing things with you I'm learning as I go to church. I'm not standing up here as a scholar or some authority. I'm telling you what the Lord told me. There was one evangelist in the Nazarene church. You say, if you think it's hard now, you should have got it when I got it. God deals with me on the same level he deals with you. I've been having to do a lot of reflection this week. Am I tied into Jesus Christ? Am I doing what he wants me to do? That'd be terrible to stand before him on that day. Jesus said, many will say to me, I preached. I've done many mighty things in your name, wonderful deeds and work. Lord, I fed the hungry, I clothed the naked. I taught Sunday school. I was an elder in my church. Well, Lord, I was a deacon for 50 years. What'd Jesus say? I will look at you and say, I never knew you. Why? Because you wasn't connected to him. Now, am I saying that God's called everybody in this room to be in a pulpit or go to the mission field? No, but I can't tell you what God's call is on your life. Only he can. So don't ask me. I've had people do that. What do you think God's will is for my life? I don't know. Get on your knees and find out. I fought God for 15 years when I knew he wanted me to preach. I had every excuse in the book. Every time I read Exodus, I say, Brother Moses, I feel your pain. God, I stutter. You don't want somebody like me. And God said, I made your mouth. Well, I'm not eloquent. I'll tell you what to say. He finally just said, God, just send somebody else, and said the Lord's anger was kindled against Moses. That's not a good place to be, church. Now, praise God, Moses gave in and he listened. But it wasn't without hesitation and argument. I'm 80 years old. Lord, I'm getting a little long in the tooth to go back to Egypt and try to talk to that Pharaoh. Young whippersnapper won't listen to what I say. What God say, I'll be with you. I love this promise in here. Jesus, I want to read this to you from the New Living. Jesus said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. He's not asking us to do this alone, church. He says, I'll go with you. I'll stay with you. Even to the end. What a promise. I have found in my own life that most of the things that God calls us to intimidates us, makes us nervous, makes us uncomfortable. But he'll not call you to do something he won't equip you to do. And he doesn't thrust you out there and say, well, you're on your own, just do what you can. He leads. He guides. This might sound a little off track, but, you know, I've done a lot of my family's funerals. I did my mom and dad's. My dad was the first one I did. And I was at the funeral home the night before the funeral because nobody else was there. I had a piece of paper on dad's casket, and I was looking at him and writing my thoughts, you know, thinking, what am I going to say? And this mentally retarded man come up behind me. And the funeral director later apologized. I am so sorry I didn't see him come in. But he come up and put his arm around me. And he just hugged my neck. And he started talking about, I know your dad's in heaven looking down. And I thought, well, son, I don't think he's looking down. If anything, he's looking up. My dad wasn't a Christian. And he talked to me, and I talked to him, and he walked out. And I, you can believe this or not, I don't care. I sensed the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I sent you a hug. And the next day, when I stepped up to the casket, I took a deep breath and I said, God, you're going to have to get me through this. And I literally felt like someone come up and put their arm around me and pulled me in. Now you can say, well, I don't believe that. I don't care. You don't have to believe it. I'm telling you what happened. Jesus said you have to stay connected to me or you won't bear fruit. And we're called to be fruit bearers. Do you know that? You remember the talent of the unfaithful servant? He gave 5 talents to one, 2 to 1, 1 to 1, according to their ability. The master knew their ability. He comes back and the guy with the 5 said, Lord, I traded these 5, here's 5 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. The guy that he gave 2 came back and said, Lord, I traded with your 2, here's 2 more. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. He said the last one came in and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man. You reap what you don't sow. You take in what you didn't plant. So here's your talent. I hid it in the ground. What did the master say? You wicked servant. I'm going to judge you out of your own mouth. God expects a return on our lives, church. He expects fruit. At the least, he says he expects interest back on his investment. But we can't do it unless we stay connected to Jesus Christ. We won't know God's will. We won't know his plans. We won't be the overcomers. I was just reading in Revelation this morning about the vast crowd John saw before the throne. And one of the elders said, who are these? And John said, you know who they are. He said, these are the overcomers. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We won't overcome apart from Christ. There's too much distraction in this world. Too much temptation. There's a song Charles Johnson sang. I've sang it before, but I'm not going to do it. It's called I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand. That's where I'm at, church, as a believer. The closer I get to Christ, the more wretched I see myself, the more miserable I see myself, the more powerless I see myself. But in Jesus Christ, I can do all things. I can do what he calls me to do. I can find the strength to go on. We have to stay connected. Jesus' words, not mine. What did he say? If we don't stay connected, the Father will cut you off. And he said those branches that he cuts off will be gathered up and burned. His words, not mine. You can take it any way you want to. I'm going to close. Y'all are being awful quiet this morning. I assure you, these messages aren't to bash you, to criticize you, to make you feel bad. But I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants you to look within your heart. Jesus said he is the Spirit of truth. He speaks the truth. He will teach you all things. That's why I think the Lord has led us into this study, this series of the I Am's of Jesus. Next week, next Sunday, will be the last. But I want to leave you with this thought. The Apostle Paul encouraged the church at Colossae. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Not as you receive dogma, not as you receive doctrine, not as you became a member of a church, as you receive Christ. Stay rooted in him. Be established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now here's a warning that's very pertinent for the church today. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. A lot of that being preached. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, that's demonic spirits if you're not familiar with that term, and not according to Christ. Paul got it. Paul said, I was climbing a ladder of success above many of my own peers. Paul said, I was heading places. But he said, when I found Christ, none of that was important. None of that mattered. In fact, he said, I counted as rubbish to gain Christ. Ours is a cross-bearing religion. Jesus said, if you want to live, you got to die. You got to die to yourself. Sometimes people think, well, that's kind of harsh, you know. The Lord said, if you love your family more than me, you're not worthy of me. You can't follow me. You can put that in any area of your life. People can become an idol. Your career can become an idol. Money can become an idol. The list goes on and on and on. Jesus said, if there's anything you love more than me, you can't be my disciple. Well, that seems kind of harsh. And when you consider what Paul said in the church of Philippi, who being in very nature God, did not think equality with God something to be grasped. The Greek there, according to the commentaries I read, means clung to. He did not demand his rights as God, but he emptied himself and humbled himself and became a servant, obedient to death, even death on a cross. He has every right to ask you and I the same thing. Jesus said, you got to stay hooked up with me. You got to stay with me. You got to stay attached. How do we do that? Prayer, abiding in the Word, seeking God's face. He said, if you'll seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. He delights in showing his will to those who want to do his will. But you got to stay connected. Would you stand with me this morning? Isn't God a good God? He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He loves us, John said, even when we weren't lovely. But it's his way or it's no way at all. That's just the truth, church, the whole truth and nothing but the truth.